All right. Well, welcome everyone to Black Hawk Church. My name is Matt Metzger, and I'm the pastor of Black Hawk Downtown and a part of the teaching team. And we are in week four of a series that we've been going through called In Practice, where we're taking a look at this particular season of Lent that we're in, this 40 days leading up to Easter. Now, I know for a lot of people, when they think of Lent, they think of something that they give up during that particular time. But what we've learned as we've been going through this is for the early church, Lent actually was a time not just of giving something up, but of trying to create space for us to be able to connect with God in different types of ways. And it was a season for us to be able to, for Christians to be able to really dive into the practices and understand what's a Christian's life really supposed to look like. It was a time of training. And so far in the series, the first week we looked at fasting, then we looked at obedience, and then last week we looked at baptism. Today, we're going to jump into another practice that is supposed to be a part of Christians' lives. We're going to take a look at why we gather to worship. In other words, like, why go to church? Like, do you ever stop to think about that? I mean, okay, for the majority of us, you know, we're here in a room right now. We're either you're at one of our sites downtown, or, in Fitchburg, you're across the hall in the Traditions venue or the gallery or our Chinese venue, or you're here live in the room, crazy concept, and you're here at church. And so this is kind of an interesting message to talk to people who are at church about why to go to church. But do you ever stop to think about, like, why are you here? Like, what's the reason that you're here at church? Some of you, it could just be habit. You grew up with it. It's something that's always been a part of your life. Your family, when you were growing up, went to church, and it just kind of went from one generation to the next. Some of you, you might be like an elementary school, middle school, high school student, and you're here right now because it's your parents' habit. It's not your habit. You really, you're here because you have to be, more so than really because you want to be yet. We get that. I remember being at that stage of life. Some of you, you might be here because, you're visiting. You're checking things out. Somebody invited you to come to church and they told you that they would take you out for a meal afterwards. So really, like, you're more here for the free meal, which I'll do a lot of things for free meals, just saying. Some of you, you are your parents, and you want your kids to grow up going to church. For some of you, you're parents of toddlers or infants, and church equals an hour and a half of free childcare. And you're like, I am so there. In fact, I would stay all day and come to the evening services if I could put my kids into all of those and just take it all in and look really spiritual. Some of you, okay, let's be honest. Some of us, you're here because you did something stupid over the last month or so. Like there's sort of that like guilt thing that kicks in and you're like, yeah, I got to get to church. I remember there was a situation a few years ago on a Sunday where we had a blizzard in Madison, in February. Normally we're not dealing with 55 degree days and sunshine. It's normal to have a blizzard or something like that. And we had a particular Sunday. It was snowing sideways. There was 10 inches on the ground. Nothing was being plowed. Churches everywhere in Madison were canceling. And so we canceled. So being the pastor of Black Hawk Downtown, I had to drive down to our site, and we were meeting at the Majestic Theater, and put signs up to let people know that we had canceled. And while I was there, I look, and there's five college girls walking down the street towards me, and they get there, and it was awesome. Their hair is like sideways, and there's like makeup running down their face, and they're frozen. And I tell them there's no church, so I get them in my car to drive them back to where it was. I come to find out they were five sorority sisters who had just walked from Langdon, like the top of Langdon, all the way down Langdon, down around the Capitol to the Majestic. Far walk, in a blizzard. And so I'm thinking to myself in my mind, either these are like the most incredibly committed Christian young women I have ever met in my life, or they did something really stupid over the weekend. They're like, we got to get to church. Penance, walk through 10 inches of snow and 30 mile an hour winds. You could be here for that reason. We all have different reasons on why we come to church. But I'm guessing that for a lot of us, we're here because if someone were to ask you, you would say, well, it's just what Christians do. Like Christians, they go to church on Sundays. If we were to poll the United States, you know, a normal answer that you would get from people is that Christians, they're supposed to go to church. It's a normal thing that we're supposed to do together. And normally when we go to church, you know, when we gather together, we gather together and we think, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm gonna sing some songs. You know, I'm gonna open God's word and take a look at it as to how it applies to my life personally. You know, I'm gonna listen to a message that's going to affect my life in some way. And I am looking at this from the lens of like my own personal walk. I come to church to consume that my walk with God might grow. Isn't that true? Like I'm gonna take in and I'm gonna consume. And that's a good thing. Like those are good things to take in, good things to understand, good things to grab onto. But really, like if we stop to think about it, like in today's day and age, with the technology that we have, like we can do all that on our own, can't we? You know what I mean? Like think about it. Like in the world that we live in today, I'm guessing like if we were all to do this, most of you would hold up that you have a smartphone, Android, iPhone, something like that. If not, you've got some type of tablet. That's just sort of the world that we live in today. And when you pull this thing out, you can pretty much like due to, you know, Amazon, Google, Netflix, Spotify, iTunes, all the different things, you can pretty much watch anything it is, any TV show, any movie at any moment of the day that you would want to. You can download any music that you would like. You can purchase anything from around the world and have it delivered to you, you know, not too long from now, probably by a drone that's going to drop it at your front door, you know, and we can easily in our world just sort of pop in our earbuds and go through life, you know, just sort of consuming individually. And in the world that we live in today, it's easy to think of worship that way as well, to think of the way, you know, the things that we take in at church. If church is about me consuming, well, I can just do that on my own. I can go online and I can watch today's message online. Some of you, we were saying, it's 55 degrees outside. I'm guessing that for a lot of people, they might be doing that today. You know, some of you, and listen, some of you right now, you're watching online and you're thinking, oh boy, okay, here it comes. This is the message, you know, where he tells us about why we're supposed to go to church. This is the spiritual spanking that I'm supposed to get right now. And here it comes. And that is not at all what I want this message to be in any way, shape, or form. You know, some of you, you know, you can't make it to church all the time because you're in a job where somebody else decides your schedule. You don't get to choose your schedule. Someone else does for you. And so sometimes you can make it, sometimes you can't. I have friends who can't always make it because of medical conditions and things that are going on in their lives where it's difficult for them to be able to get to church. But there's a lot of us that, I mean, we aren't necessarily there all the time. And I understand why we would think that way. Because in the world we live in, if we think of church as just a place where I come to consume, well, I can do that on my own. I mean, take it a step farther than that. I can go on online. You know, I can go onto my phone or my tablet. I can watch the best speakers in the world. You know, the best preachers in the world. Way better than anyone that's going to be on this stage from our teaching team. And I can watch messages from them on pretty much any subject that I'm interested in. I could pull together my own playlist then of worship music. And I could create this incredible worship experience for me to be able to connect with God and consume different things that I might understand God in a deeper way. And so if that's true in today's day and age, then why gather? It's a valid question for any of us to look at. And I would guess that if we were to bring this question to God, that if we said, well, yeah, why should we gather to worship? That he might say, if all you're doing is looking at worship, the time that we gather like this is a time where you just personally consume, you know, like me, my Bible, and Jesus. If that's all you're doing, you're potentially selling the church short of what it was really intended to be, of the role and the impact that it can have on your life. It's kind of like your iPhone or your smartphone. Now, I'm 45 years old, which means I have parents who are a little older than 45 years old, and they both in the last year got smartphones for the first time, iPhones. And as a family, we were so excited. You know, my daughters, grandma and grandpa, getting smartphones for the first time. You know, how many, I mean, I'm guessing a lot of you have parents or grandparents who have iPhones. And so I was so excited that their world was going to be open to a whole different level of technology and opportunity that they were going to have because of all this thing can do. And so at Christmas, we were down there. I was talking to them. I'm like, okay, so mom and dad, how's the iPhone stuff going? How much are you loving it? Isn't it amazing? And they were like, well, really, we mostly just use them for phone calls. And I thought to myself, wow, I didn't realize people still made phone calls, you know, first off, you know, but two, I was like, are you kidding me? Like this, and all you're doing is like, yeah, okay, see, like that's all you're doing, like no email. Like no music or playlists, like no Netflix, no texting, no searching the web, no social media, no checking the weather, no ever checking maps, or, you know, or to see what directions to get where it is you're going. No Angry Birds for crying out loud. I mean, nothing. Like there's nothing. Phone calls. That's it. I mean, when I talked to him, I just thought to myself, you were so missing so much of what this thing could do in your life. So much great that could take place when you really understand the beauty of all that the smartphone can truly do. You know, and I would guess that for some of us, the way that we do church right now, if we think of it as a place where we just simply come to consume, it's like having an iPhone and using it for phone calls. You can do that, but you're missing out on so much that the church, the multi-generational church, the richness of the multi-generational church that it has to offer you. And so what I want to do is to dive into that subject today for all of us. Those of us here in the room who are just simply consume, those of us online who just simply consume, in order to open us up to, again, why do we gather to worship? What's the reason for it? So in light of that, turn with me in your Bibles right now to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews in the New Testament. If you don't have your Bibles or have a YouVersion or whatever, we're going to have it up here on the screens. Hebrews 10:23 says this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. This author is writing the early church in the book of Hebrews, one about the supremacy of Jesus and his role in the world, and then also talking about the impact that that should have on the church and what's important for us to be the church. And the interesting thing when you look at that, if you actually take a look in Greek at the word church, ekklesia, you know, when we think of church, we think of a building. The definition of the word ekklesia actually was gathering. You see, back then to people in the church, if you said, I'm going to church, they would never have thought of a building. They would have thought of people. You know, there was no concept back then about my relationship with Jesus being like me and my Bible and Jesus and my journal. And it's just a personal thing this way. Everything about a relationship they had with Christ had to do with my relationship this way and my relationship out with other people. Everything was corporate. Everything was gathering. I mean, think about it. People didn't have their own Bibles back then. You know, they would gather together. Most people were illiterate. And so they would gather together, someone would read it, you know, or someone would, you know, share something that they had memorized. And then they would do life together. That's what church was. Church was all about being together, gathering together, community. You know, really, I mean, when we think about it, if we really go deeper into it, that shouldn't surprise us that much. I mean, think about for a minute the God that we serve. And supposedly we're created in his image. Now think about that. God, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When we really unplug that, God has been in community since before time. Like God has been in community forever. God was never sitting around and going, man, I'm just kind of lonely. And so I guess, well, I'll go ahead and create some people so I can have somebody to interact with and do stuff. No. He was perfectly happy and content in the community that he had, and he has always known community. And we're created in his image. In fact, I mean, from the very beginning of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it tells us that. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, community, in our likeness. In other words, we are created by a God who has always known community to be in community, and we connect with God through community. It's the way it's been for the people of God from the beginning of time. I mean, think about it. So God had his people, the people of Israel that he had created. And when the way that they connected with God was when they gathered together. And so on Sabbath days, and at the different festivals, that the religious festivals that they would celebrate together, they would go to the temple. And at the temple, in the temple was the inner court and then the Holy of Holies, the place where the presence of God resided. And so they would go there in order to connect together to God. Then Jesus came on the scene, and that changed everything. You know, God sends his son to deal with our sin issue. And so Jesus comes to this world, lives the life that we were supposed to live, and dies the death that we were supposed to die, paying the penalty for all of our sins. So now that for any of us who come to the place of accepting Jesus as our Savior, now we can have eternal life through Christ living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So no longer did people have to go to the temple to be with God. Now we're the temple. You see, it's so much different. But here's the thing. It goes farther than just me and my own individual temple, and you're an individual temple, and there's a temple over there. It's different than that. That corporately together, Scripture says, we're created together to be the temple. The Apostle Paul talks about this to the church in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. Take a look at this for just a second. You can turn there if you want, or you don't have to. We can look in the screens. I don't know. Do whatever you want with the Bible right now. If you want to look, that's great. So Ephesians 2:19 says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In other words, the entire temple is created off of Christ as the cornerstone, the foundational piece that every angle was built from. That was Christ. And so then it's all the people on top of that. And then we fall into that too. It says here, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. You see, he's giving us a picture that all of us who place our faith in Christ, that we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us, and that each of us plays a role in being a stone in that temple that's being created. You see, he's giving us a picture that when we gather together to worship, that there's something unique that takes place. That there's something unique that takes place in the way that I'm able to connect with God through the way that we gather together and the way that we worship together. So that, sure, I can have those moments where it's me and my Bible and Jesus, and it can happen this way, but that there is something unique that takes place when the people of God gather together to worship. It's why Jesus, when he was walking the planet in Matthew chapter 18, said, but where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There is something different and unique when we gather together. There's something that takes place in the way that we connect and the way that we contribute. You know, so when it comes to connect, what does that really look like? Well, Scripture gives us this picture of the temple that, I mean, it's kind of like we're kind of like a city or a village of people together. Ephesians 2 gives us that idea where it says that you're fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. He gives us this picture that, like, the church is supposed to be this complex organism of lots of different relationships and lots of different people in the way they connect together. And that's difficult in a large church, isn't it? I mean, it can be so easy just to be able to slide in the door and slide back out and never get to know anybody. You know, but it's supposed to be a place of relationships that happen with people who gather together. This goes beyond life groups. You know, now at Black Hawk, we push life groups. That's our version of small groups of people that meet together to study God's word and to pray and get to know each other. And I'm in one, and we have one that my wife and I are in, and we love our life group. But this is supposed to go far and beyond that, because there is a richness that happens in the multi-generational church when we really connect. You see, it's like the high school student who's going to a school somewhere in Dane County and thinks that they're the only Christian who attends their school. And then all of a sudden they show up at church and they run into, I don't know, three or four friends from their school that they had no idea believed in Jesus. And all of a sudden their paradigm changes. Or maybe you've heard this one. It's the 20 something who moves to Madison or Dane County to work for this small little grassroots startup organization called Epic. And as they do that on their day one of work, they're sitting there going, I wonder if there are any other believers working there. And then they come to Black Hawk. And as they walk around over the few weeks that they're here, they meet, I don't know, 300-500 people from Epic that end up going to our church. And all of a sudden their world changes. You know, it's the guy who sits next to a girl in any of the venues at Black Hawk Church, and they meet at meet and greet, get each other's names. Then the next week, all of a sudden, they find themselves sitting in the same area. They meet in meet and greet, you know, the next time. Then after that, the following service, they decide to grab a cup of coffee after church. And then about a week later, they go out on their first date, and now they are getting married. And that's true. See, you wonder what goes on at meet and greet. Some of you need to put your game face on a little bit more, because it could happen, people. I'm just throwing it out there. So it's the person within our church who finds out that they have cancer, or a family member has cancer. And then all of a sudden, through the different relationships of people that they know and people who other people are connected to, they are able to get with other people who have gone through the same type of thing, that can walk through that season of life with them. Or it's the woman in our church who has a miscarriage and is trying to figure out how to deal with all of the feelings and emotions of loss and not being sure who to talk to, that's able to connect with a handful of other women who have gone through the same thing, that can walk her through that process. It's the college student who attends our church, who their life on campus, everyone is within 3 or 4 years of their age, being able to get connected into a family through our Adopt a College Student program. And now, rather than just doing life with all other undergrads, they're with people who are older than them, pouring into kids who are younger than them, in a house with a refrigerator that has real food in it, and like laundry facilities where you don't have to put quarters in. You know, like, it's that type of thing. It's the 20-something starting their first big person career job, sitting next to the couple who is just recently retired. You know, it's the high school student in skinny jeans and a hoodie sitting next to the 75-year-old man dressed in his Sunday best. It's the extroverted worshiper who in the room, eyes closed, hands raised, just going after the heart of God, sitting next to the introverted person who worships God a different way. And the two of them worshiping God next to each other in their own unique way and able to love each other in the process. And listen, some of you right now, you go, Matt, okay, that's really nice, but like, I'm not an extroverted worshiper, and I'm not an introverted worshiper. I'm not a worshiper, because I'm not so sure what it is that I really believe. Like, I'm just still trying to figure out what I think about Jesus and God, and this is all new to me. And I just want you to know, one, I mean, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We have people like that in every service that happens here at Black Hawk Church. And when I say welcome to you, I'm not just saying welcome, we're so glad you stopped by for a week. But welcome, and we're so hoping that you plug in here. And when I say plug in, I mean like really getting involved, that this would be a place that you feel like you can call home. Because the thing is that like we can begin to think that like, you know, Christianity is a prerequisite to be a part of this church. And I need to say from the top, listen, our hope for every single person, every person here, is that as they're a part of this church, that they come to the place of understanding God's love for them, and they come to the place of accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's our desire for every single person, but that is not a prerequisite. In other words, you do not have to believe to belong. And our hope is that for every one of you, that you would find a different type of community here, in the way that you're accepted, in the way that you're valued, in the way that you're brought in the way that you connect, in the way that you're able to contribute. We need all of us. And that's our hope for this church. You know, and so our desire is that this would be a place where you can truly, truly connect. And when that happens, man, what God does through the multi-generational church is amazing. But it goes beyond that. It's not just that we're supposed to come to consume. We do consume, and that's a good thing. It's not just that we connect. We connect, and that's awesome, but it goes beyond that. Because you see, in the church, we're also called to contribute. To contribute with our gifts and our abilities and all sorts of different things like that, that we would bring something to the table. But it's different. And we talk about it in Hebrews 10. Let's go back there for just a minute. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more. You see, isn't it true that we all need encouragement? And isn't it true that like we all need a little spurring once in a while? We all need a good little kick in the butt every once in a while. You know, I love that it uses that word spur, because if you go to the literal translation of that word, it's a word that's used in other Greek writings as the definition is irritate. You know, now let's just change the translation for a minute and let's consider how we may irritate one another on towards love and good deeds. Isn't that awesome? But like, isn't it true that for all of us in our lives, we have those times where we need encouragement, and there are those times where we need somebody to kind of irritate us along towards something better. Here's the thing. The way that God wants that to happen for all of us is through all of us. Like that we would all be people who are playing that role in one another's lives. That we would be people who are connected in this complex organism called the church to a level where we are able to contribute to one another's lives, that we might through one another become more like Jesus. And for some of you right now, as I say those things, you're going, Matt, okay, that sounds really nice. But it's a heck of a lot easier just to come here and consume. And frankly, it feels a lot safer just to be able to come in and sort of take in and make it about me, my Bible, and Jesus. Because really, Matt, like if you were to get to know me, like I'm not sure you would want me connecting with anybody. And I'm not sure that you would want me contributing to anything around here. Because like I'm broken, I'm damaged, you know, I'm chipped, I've got baggage, I've got stuff I'm not sure that anybody else, you know, would know about. It's kind of like this mug, you know, it's like, you know, it works as a mug, holds water, you know, and I'm guessing that for all of us in our homes, we have one like this, you know, maybe a plate or a dish or something like that, that's got like the big chip in the side. And it's the one that, you know, I mean, sure, we can turn this way and no one might notice, but I mean, it's still all there. And as you're using it, you know, I mean, you probably don't pull this out for guests a lot of times, you know, you use other stuff. And for a lot of us, we think about it, this is our life. Like we're chipped, we're damaged, and everybody else looks like this, and we're the one that looks like this. And so we're going, really, you want me to connect and you want me to contribute around here? I'm just not so sure you want this. But do you realize what God does with chipped and damaged stuff when it all connects and it all contributes?
this is kind of something different for us. At all of our sites and all of our venues, we want to try singing the same song all together. So if you're watching this on video at Upper House, if you are watching at Savannah Oaks, if you're across the hall in the gallery, if you're over in Traditions at the Chinese venue, we want to invite you to sing, based on this little loop, All Creatures of Our God and King together. So let's do that now. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What just took place? It was a whole bunch of broken stuff. But when it was brought together in some way, it connected. And in the way that it all contributed, it created a rhythm that we were all able to worship to. And in that worship, consume God corporately, differently than we could have if it was just me, my Bible, and Jesus. And so if you look at yourself right now and think, well, I'm broken, I'm chipped, I'm damaged, I'm like an old hubcap on the side of the road, I'm an old broom, I'm a chipped mug, welcome to the club, you know, because that's all of us. But what God can do through broken stuff can change the world. That's the reason why He created the church. The church was not man's idea. It was God's idea. And it was an idea that He put together to literally transform the world. So that when the church works as the church is supposed to, in the way that it connects, in the way that people contribute, that people on the outside would see what was happening on the inside and be attracted to it. And so my question to you is, will you be a part of it? You know, would we all in different ways be able to try to get out of the mindset of thinking of church as a place just simply where I come to consume and think of it as a place where I also come to connect and I come to contribute? I mean, think for just a moment on what could take place if all of our minds changed and transformed that way. If rather than when I'm coming on Sunday, if I was just simply praying, God, I pray that somehow you would show me something this way as I come to meet with you. If we were also praying, and God, not just what do I have to learn from you, but who do you have for me to connect with? And God, today as I go, what way do you want me to contribute to the life of somebody else? Think of what our church would be like. Think of what we would all experience. Think of what people who are coming in looking for some type of community, looking for some type of answers with the struggles of life, if they came into a place full of broken people who were willing to contribute and connect. See, the way that we would consume God would look so different. And it would be something that people on the outside would desire because it's transformative. There's a friend of mine, a woman named Shelley Giglio, who's had a great impact on my life. And she's a church leader in Atlanta. And I follow her on Instagram. And not too long ago, she posted just on her Instagram page some thoughts about the church. She said this: here's the thing about the church. It's God's idea. You can challenge Him on it, but you can't deny His love for it. Many of us have issues with the gathering of the church. We've been hurt by it, not the building, of course, but the people. It's not surprising, really, given that the people are you and me. However, God begs us not to forsake the gathering of His people. It's like He knew, duh, we would hurt each other. But He also knew we would need the gathering together for strength, vision, hope, and the possibility that we can be a servant of/for Jesus. and 2/4 each other. So let's encourage each other not to give up easily. He is good and he has good for us. Let's forgive quickly, hold short accounts of hurt, and move forward in building the kingdom of God on earth through his chosen way, the church. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for the fact that you loved us enough to send your son to open a door for us to be in right relationship with you and right relationship with each other. God, thanks that the vehicle you've caused for that to happen is in the church. And God, I just admit, I mean, as people, we've screwed it up and messed it up and damaged it. And God, for all of us here, we're damaged and broken. Thank you so much that your forgiveness is bigger than our brokenness. And God, would you help us as a community to be the type of place that you desire for us to be as a church? That you might use us to transform the world through the way that we consume you, the way that we connect, and the way that we contribute. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.